Good evening and welcome to our service this evening, which will be led by myself, Vicky, I'm one of the ministers here at Romford Baptist Church, and by Ian, one of the other ministers here at the church. And so we come to worship God this evening. And I'm going to use a few verses from Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 4. And I'm using the Message version to read this. I, John, am writing this to the seven churches in Asia province. All the best to you from the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. And from the seven spirits assembled before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, loyal witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of all earthly kings. Glory and strength to Christ who loves us, who blood washed our sins from our lives, who made us a kingdom, priests for his Father forever. And yes, he's on his way. Riding the clouds, he'll be seen by every eye. Those who mocked and killed him will see him. People from all nations and all times will tear their clothes in lament. Oh, yes. The Master declares, I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign strong. What great words to start our service this evening as we are reminded through the words of our first song that he is indeed the King of Kings, Majesty, and that's who we're worshipping tonight. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder that you are indeed our King, our Lord. You are majestic. We come here to worship you and we give you thanks that you are above all others. And Father, at this time, at the beginning of our service, we are reminded of the words that you taught us to say along with your disciples, the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we are reminded as we continue in the book of Revelation, this time from Revelation 5, of just how amazing God is. John continues with these words, I looked again and I heard a company of angels around the throne, the animals and the elders, 10,000 times 10,000 their number, thousand after thousand after thousand in full song. The slain lamb is worthy. Take the power, the wealth, the wisdom, the strength. Take the honor, the glory, and the blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and earth, in underworld and sea, join in with all voices, singing to the one on the throne, to the Lamb, the blessing, the honor, the glory, and the strength for age after age. And the four animals called out, oh yes. And the elders fell on their knees and worshipped. Let's continue with our worship as we sing our next hymn, the Revelation hymn, where we are reminded of the Lamb who was slain. Those wonderful words from that hymn, reminding us, as we did from the words from Revelation 5, that every creature in heaven and on earth worships and should be worshipping God the Most High, the Lamb who is seated on the throne. And yet, sometimes we struggle, don't we? And we struggle too with lockdown in the way that it's continuing, with the restrictions and the uncertainty and the fears for the future. But we aren't alone in that. And we prayed a few weeks ago for Louise and Peter as they continued their work in Bangladesh. And we're going to listen now as we listen to their perspective of what is happening in Bangladesh and the work that they and other BMS workers and missionaries are doing as they seek to bring hope to that situation there. Let's watch this video.
Hi, I'm Pete.
And I'm Louise.
And we work here in Bangladesh with BMS World Mission. Thank you for watching this video. Thank you for supporting BMS and thank you for your interest in us and the work that we're doing. Our national partner here is the Bangladesh Baptist Church Shongo, and it's an amazing bunch of people. People of all ages, people of all backgrounds who've come to know Christ. And our job is to work alongside the leaders of the denomination to encourage mission and discipleship and to offer the support we can as people walking alongside churches, individuals and leaders. Part of the BMS plans or strategy have always been to work among the most marginalised people, the least evangelised people, and in some of the most fragile parts of the world. And every day we see that and have that experience here in Bangladesh. People here have tough lives. The Christians are less than 1% of the population. And so for us, whether we're training leaders, supporting churches, preaching, organising and delivering safeguarding training, whatever it is we're doing, we're seeing that the work of BMS makes a difference, supports people and brings the light of Christ here. One of the extra things we did last year was a relief programme that you may have been part of, because it was your giving that made it possible for us to provide 2 weeks' food and relief for families whose homes and lives had been devastated by flooding. And what that achieved was it was more than just giving food, it was a symbol of hope. And as we are in the middle now of a crisis that is so much bigger, then remembering that message of hope is something that is inspiring us during the difficult days that are ahead.
Thank you that so many of you have written and asked us what's happening in Bangladesh. It's a really fast changing situation. At first the virus was the smaller story because the government measures of lockdown that started on the 26th of March just had a huge and devastating impact from day one. Many people who rely on going out to work every day to get enough money to buy food for that day lost their jobs, and so there's scenes of poverty and desperation emerging across the country. We are in lockdown ourselves, which means that we go out probably every other day and just to buy the essentials that we need from the market. For many people who don't have enough money to do that, they wait for government relief. And this slide here shows a picture of people waiting, and outside our window we have a similar scene. For Dhaka, we think that the situation is slightly easier as the government is able to get relief fairly easily to people. Out in the rural areas, we know the picture is far more frightening. There are whole congregations where no one has a job, and so the church are desperate for help from people here in Dhaka.
The Shongo is a collection of about 400 churches spread across the whole country, as well as a number of schools and projects. And what was great the other day was we sat down together as a leadership and talked together about how best to respond. And the leadership said with one voice, they said, what we need to do is behave like one family, because that's the strapline of the Shongo, is that we are one family together. And they wanted to make sure that help got to the places that where they needed it the most. Many of the churches in rural areas, everyone is a day labourer or a farmer. And so at the moment they have no income, they have no money and they have no cash to fall back on. And so the Shongo want to get help, both in terms of hygiene kits and in terms of basic food, out to these areas. And they decided they would set up a central fund, asking people first to pray and then to give a day's wages to build up this fund in order to be able to help these families. They invited us as well as BMS to be a part of that response, and gladly we are doing that because that is our expression of being one family together.
We're really worried about what will happen if the virus spreads in Bangladesh. Bangladesh is known to be one of the most densely populated countries in the world, and Dhaka itself has 20 million people living in it. Hundreds of thousands of those people live in slums, and it's believed that social isolation is not going to be a solution here. It's going to be impossible. The government is responding by locking people down where the virus is in one district or one area, and we are really worried about how people who live in the slums, how people in the Rohingya camps, and the people who live in really poor housing are going to be able to avoid catching the virus. We're also really worried about people's resilience. Dhaka is one of the most polluted cities in the world, and there's a really high prevalence of lung disease here, high prevalence of diabetes and heart disease. And when we think about the people that we visited in villages who have experienced extreme hardship and malnutrition, sometimes over generations, then we're really worried that these people will not be able to fight the virus well. So as it spreads through the country, we fear that the death toll will be really high here. The hospitals last year were overwhelmed by dengue fever, pictures in the papers of floors in the wards full of people because there were too many people for the beds. And as we think about the hospitals needing now intensive equipment and respirators and ventilators, we really fear the worst and that people will not be able to get treatment.
Thank you so much for supporting BMS. As you may know, BMS is always already doing some great work in many parts of the world to bring relief and to provide a response to this crisis. Thank you for supporting BMS, and thank you for supporting us.
We experienced firsthand what it was like when you in the UK gave money and showed the love of God to people living thousands and thousands of miles away. And we would love it if you could do that again and give not only for Bangladesh, but for all our brothers and sisters who today are fearing death or fearing starvation and have an uncertain future and are trusting only in God. Please give if you're able.
And please sign up for the BMS World Mission newsletter, which will keep you informed every week of the latest work that is going on and where the needs are being met by the work of BMS. Please, above all, pray. Pray for yourselves, pray for the UK, pray for your loved ones, but then pray again. Pray for vulnerable people in many parts of the world. Pray for the people here in Bangladesh who you don't know and will never meet, but who need you to be alongside them.
Thank you for all of you who have been in contact with us to ask how we're doing, what's happening in Bangladesh. Thank you for your interest, for your support, for your prayers, for your words of encouragement. We also, every morning, sit and pray for you before you've woken up, because we care also about what's happening in the UK. And thank you for watching this video and for your interest in the work of BMS. So, as they say here,
Emmanuel.
And so we come to a time of prayer as we pray for Pete and Louise and for those across our world who are seeking to bring God's hope into this uncertain world. Let us pray. And so, Father God, we thank you for that reminder from Pete and Louise that they continue to walk alongside churches and leaders and individuals as they seek to be your hands and your feet to bring your hope into that situation. We realise that in a country where Christians are less than 1% of the population, there are so many in that country who need to know of the hope that comes from a relationship with you. We thank you that through the relief program that has been mentioned, that through the giving of the food, we can see that that is a symbol of hope for the many who don't yet know you. But Lord, we recognize that there are so many who are suffering from the loss of their jobs, who are facing such poverty and desperation, and about whom so many need to have decisions made. We pray for Pete and Louise and their church as they seek to behave like one family. We thank you for the agreement by the leadership team to enable a central fund to be built up in order to provide things such as practical things, such as the hygiene kits and the food. And Lord, I'm sure that at times that will seem like such a small drop in the ocean. But we thank you that that is something that is a work in progress and something that we too can contribute towards as we continue to give to BMS. As we think about the 20 million people in Dhaka, for the many, many, and the majority of which who are living in such slums, who will find it impossible to isolate as the number of cases of COVID-19 rise. Lord, we bring before you Bangladesh, that most densely populated country, and we pray for your hand to be at work in that situation. Father God, it feels too much for our brain to comprehend how those people can be kept safe. But Lord, we know you are a God of miracles, and it is to you we turn. And we pray, Lord, that as hospitals are feared that they'll be overwhelmed, that Lord, you will step in and do something mighty. Father God, as we know from our own experience just how difficult things have been here, Lord, we pray for Bangladesh. And we pray for your hand to be at work there too. We know it will be, but Lord, we offer you our prayers. And we do pray. We pray for the BMS workers and the workers of so many other charities who are seeking to bring relief and help into such desperate situations. We do pray for situations such as in Nepal and in Chad, in Sri Lanka, alongside that of Bangladesh and the many other countries on which BMS and other charities are at work. And Lord, we thank you for that reminder that if we choose and we want to give as we can, and that link was available to us. And Lord, that may be one practical response we can give, but Lord, we can come before you too in our prayers. In our prayers each day, as we remember those workers like Pete and Louise, and like the many others who are seeking to make a difference in the countries in which they are placed, that Lord God, you will put your hand of protection upon them, and that they will know you, giving them the strength and the discernment to know the difficult decisions that they are left to make. Lord God, surround them, we pray, with your promise and your love and your hope and your strength, as Lord, they seek to be your servants at this difficult time. Amen. We're going to be moving into a time of communion, and once again, being just a reminder, just to make sure you've got something that you can eat and something that you can drink as we come to communion in just a moment. But as we come, we're going to look at a picture and listen to the words of our next song as we prepare our hearts to share in that meal together, that meal that Jesus shared with his disciples.
Welcome to this communion. Symbols of bread and wine are common symbols of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your homes, you will have something ready, hopefully, for this communion. As we come to take it, in unfamiliar surroundings, not together as we would prefer, we come and we take with thanksgiving. And we're now going to be led in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, although we are physically separated from each other, we come to you in worship and in praise. We think about your sacrifice on the cross, where you died in our place. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? We see before us symbols which remind us of your broken body and shed blood on the cross. We confess we are unworthy to sit at your table or receive your great gift of love. But you love us so much that if we believe in you, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, as we take these symbols, we place ourselves once more in your arms and say, thank you, Lord, for paying the penalty of our sin, so that we may have life in all its fullness, and life for eternity. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
And Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says these words, "For I received from the Lord the teaching which I pass on to you. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a piece of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you.' The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again.'" The body of Christ, broken for you. Let's eat and be thankful. The cup of forgiveness poured out for us. Let's drink and receive the love that Christ gives to us. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with the body and blood of Christ, bread and wine, symbols of his love. Help us, Lord, to continue to live as true and glorious people for your glory. Amen. Bernd is going to now lead us in a prayer.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me into your home this evening. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the week just gone. Forgive us for the things we did which we should not have done, and the things that we should have done but did not. Thank you for the many blessings you have given us, keeping us safe, having a caring family and church around us. We are so grateful that we live in Romford and are still able to worship you freely, even if it is virtually. We are so blessed here at Romford Baptist Church. Forgive us for not always recognizing it or appreciating the wonderful people here. Thank you for the vision of the previous leaders and church members who were instrumental in installing the system so we can now meet virtually. Thank you for all those who are joining us online from various different countries and our own. We pray for our country, the Queen, and her government during this time. Let this be a time of reflection and thinking about what life means. We pray for the government, Let them give proper guidance of how we can beat this pandemic. Let us remember all those who have been affected by the virus, whether it is that they have had it, or have recovered from it, or have had loved ones who have passed away, or because loved ones have it. In particular, I'd like to pray for those among our membership who need a special prayer. Julie Delph, Bill Romaine, Lillian Wingate, Brian and Sue Sharp, Bree and Ray. Be with these people in their time of worry and need. Let them feel your comfort and love. I'd like to pray particularly for Anne Carter, who is recovering from her operation, and for Keith, who is caring for her. Let us also remember Ben's sister, who has been diagnosed with cancer, and all the decisions which need to be taken. Give the family and the doctors the wisdom they need and how to proceed. Thank you for the NHS and those who are fighting to keep us safe. I'd like to remember all of those who are ill as a result of other illnesses. Let us remember those in our prayers. Thank you for new life, particularly for Amy, Chris, and Theo. Pray that you will surround that family with love and comfort. I pray that you will let Theo grow stronger as soon as possible, that he can join his parents at home. Thank you for our sister church at Winter Gardens. Let us remember those who worship there. Keep them strong, keep them healthy, and keep them true. Amen.
You hopefully received the notices through your email, and I remind you that we will be worshipping again next Sunday at 10:30 and 6 o'clock using the same link as you have done for this service. On Tuesday evening, our prayer meeting gathers by Zoom, and the information for that are on the notice sheet. And on Wednesday, we have our weekly virtual meeting place on Wednesday morning. Wednesday evening also, we continue for week 6 of our prayer course, and many are finding getting a lot out of that. Please do go to the notice sheet for the links for that. The younger adults are meeting on Tuesday evening at 8:50 for the Journey Life Group, and you are invited to join them on Skype for that. The notice sheet has all the information about the youth programme as well. And we continue to pray for the youth, as even now they are meeting for their own group this evening via Zoom. Thank you for your continual support of the church and for the offerings that you give online through the banks and those who have sent in checks. Thank you so much for us continuing to support the ministry and the work of the church at this time. Let's give thanks to God for our gifts. Father, we thank you that we have so much from you. And Lord, as we come to you right now, we offer you again our resources for your purposes. Take them and use them for your glory. Help those around us to be blessed by them, and others to come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We pray this for your glory. Amen. We sing our next song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Our reading this evening is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by anyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competing in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us complete as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitionary though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought us condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings us righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitionary came with glory, how much greater the glory that of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face and prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not only been removed, because it only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Last week we started a series looking at how we become like Christ, and we looked at the whole theme of icons, being in the image of God. This week we're continuing it as we talk about being glorious, being true. If we were to sort of say to ourselves that our call by God is that we are to be glorious, the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean that we are eccentric, that we are famous? Or does it mean something deeper than that? Before we look at it, I wonder what shapes our thinking, what shapes who we are. We're all shaped by what we hear about ourselves, and all of us are, by some way, a product of our thoughts and patterns. Wake up in the morning to a critical email, and it can really knock you for the whole day. Wake up to a criticism, and that can cause you deep anxiety. Having a conversation with a negative person, you can feel like giving up. And at this time of lockdown, we often have these things happening and have no correction being spoken into our lives. And so we sit at home with the sense of doom, despair. And the trouble is, as we get negative thoughts about ourselves, as we become negative, we all more easily believe what is true is the negative. And we believe it far more if it's negative than if somebody says something positive. If you got 3 negative emails but 7 positive emails, I would like to believe that the 7 positive would outweigh the 3 negative. But no, it's always the other way around. The negative outweighs. And yet last week we saw we are made in the image of God. Our challenge, therefore, is to live in this image in a glorious way, knowing that we are children, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are made in his image. Knowing that we are made in his image can be great. As we know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, yet in the same way, knowing that we are in the image of God can be so depressing. Because when we use the measuring stick of God to judge ourselves, we often do that in a far more aggressive and negative way than the way that God measures us. Whether it's a battle to appreciate what we see in the mirror, all the words from our tongues, when we fail to treat others with dignity or fail to live by God's standards, we so often feel that we have let God down and let ourselves down, and we condemn ourselves. The shortfall between our goal and the way we live is a constant reminder that we need Jesus. He represents us as perfectly as we should be to the Father. Jesus is there when we are saying we are no good, and Jesus saying, they are. I have made them good. I have sanctified them by my death on the cross. So our daily failure to represent God as committed followers of Jesus should not drive us to despair. Because of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and for our failings and our feelings, we should not go from despair. We should go to glorious. Did you notice in that reading from Corinthians, in verse 17 of chapter 3, it says this: Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, freedom is something we so want at the moment. But we're free. We're free from our past. We're free from our failures. We're free from so much. We are free. Yet, it goes beyond the freedom. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. We spend a lot of time on what we were, and we spend a lot of time on what we have become. And yet, the whole Bible, the themes of the Bible so often is about what we are becoming, what we are being transformed into. We are in God's image, yet we're being transformed into his image. We are like God, but we're being transformed more into God. Imagine a newlywed. Yes, they are married. They have no further legal thing to do. They're just stepping out into the discovery of who they are in this new way of being. And as newlyweds, they think they know it all. And yet it's starting. They're going to find out that this new way of being is going to be continually developing and developing as they get to know their husband or wife even better. Although we are 100% created in the image of God, we can grow into this identity and discover at a deeper level what that means. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. This is not an immediate makeover or one of experience like in a church service. It's a painstaking work of the expert restorer, such as the one that is restoring the priceless oil painting over a course of months, years, or even a decade. We are being called to be glorious as Jesus was in our daily life, both by being and becoming image bearers. By being who God has called us to be and created us as, but recognizing what's still going on further into that experience of being like Christ. And this is done through the work of the Holy Spirit working in us. That very well-known verse from Philippians 1 verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And so let's be glorious. Let's be glorious by representing Christ and acknowledging that's who we are and accepting that Christ has made us glorious, let's go for it. But secondly, I want us to be true. God wants us to be true. And I want to take a moment in this service to explore truth. The truth of who you are. You are made in the image of God. But we're also a diverse people, different in temperament, gender, skills, ethnicity, and culture. And the danger of trying to become in the image of God is we define that image of how we see and understand God ourselves. Often we see God through the lens of our experiences and understandings. We picture Jesus in the forms of the artists we have seen painting pictures of Jesus, often on Christmas cards, as a white middle-class Western man. Images of God are often an old man lying on a cloud or whatever. And in these very descriptions, we constrain God to our understanding and limit ourselves to our potential. If we are going to be true, we need to see the diversity of God. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, in all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Christ was a complete person. The completeness of God in a human being. We too are images of God. But in seeking to become more like God, we need to stop and ask him, "Who am I?" You may be someone who's enjoyed looking back through your ancestry and finding out about those people of previous generations of your family and where you came from. And often when people do that, it starts to shape them. They start to see that they have a great history. Might even find royal blood in your family if you go back far enough. Or maybe you're royalty and you've just not told us. But we're more than that. We're more than the sum of our ancestry. We are unique. We are individual. We are special. And the danger is that before us is to craft ourselves in the image of another person, to be shaped by the expectations around us. And we need to stop and reflect for a moment and ask ourselves these few questions. Who am I? What has God created me to do? What passion skills has God put inside me? What is my identity and what is my identity and am I proud of it? And what can I do with who God made me? We are all different, yet made in the image of God. As we grow more like God, it does not mean that we necessarily grow more like each other. Our diversity is great. In our human limitations, we are in conflict because we do not see everything from the same perspective. But I want to take a moment to say you are created in God's image. No one is better or poorer than me. You are as much in God's image as I am. Let me speak to the women. You are created equal and in God's image. I have so much to learn from you. Let me speak to those who are from another nation and another background than me. I have so much to learn from God about you. You are an equal. And we could take that talking to one another, to every people group, every identity. We are created in the image of God. Say to yourself now, I'm created in the image of God, yet I'm called to be true to myself. True to your calling. True to your identity. Be glorious and true. God did not make any seconds. His mark goes on his created beings, and is in the first day of creation to today. He says, it is good. Be glorious. Be true. And know that God has created you just as you are, for his purpose and his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you made each one of us different, yet all in your image. We thank you for our sisters and brothers that make up Romford Baptist Church, our sisters and brothers that are watching to this service right now. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as of worth. Lord, into this moment, into my home now where each one of us are gathering, into our homes. Help us to see ourselves as you created us, our uniqueness, our specially, our special talents. And take those gifts, Lord, and we offer them to you again, for you to use, for your glory. Take us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final song talks about God's amazing grace and the fact that our chains are gone.
Thank you for being with us at RBC Online this week. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And now may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.